Thank you, Ron, for the reading and for bringing us into the scriptures. Well, over the past 5 weeks, well, except for last week, we have seen, we've been going through the Hearing God series, sermon series, and we've seen that God wants to be in a relationship with us. God wants to speak to us personally. And we've learned that there are four primary ways that we can know God. You remember them: through experience, through tradition, through reason, and of course the primary way that we can know God is through Scripture. Because in Scripture, we can hear His general word to everyone, right? The Logos. But we can also receive a personal word that's just for us. That was the Rhema word. And so then recently, 2 weeks ago, we also heard about some of the things that can get in the way of us hearing God's voice. And there are things that can get in the way. Well, today is the last of our sermon series with our final midweek sessions on hearing God happening in this coming week. Next Sunday will be a very exciting Sunday as well, so I hope you'll all be here. We're going to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with a young man who has felt the call of God to commit his life to Jesus Christ. And there's going to be confirmation of two ladies who want to affirm the faith professed in their baptisms. So we'll finish with hearing God today, but don't stop coming. You want to be here next week, and the week after that is going to be exciting as well, as we'll have a guest preacher, Paul Scott Wilson, I'm very excited about. So let's pray before we begin. God, we're so thankful for all of the ways that you speak to us. And we pray that you would help us in the weeks and months ahead to calm our fears, to set aside our pride, and to listen to your voice. Listen to your voice speaking to us, guiding us, calling us forward. We pray that now as we reflect on these words, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we hear it in Job 33 in chapter 14 that God speaks in different ways. He speaks in one way and then in two. And it says then that we don't always recognize his voice. So God speaks in different ways. We don't always recognize his voice. Brian gave us a great summary of the story of Job, how he suffered numerous tragic afflictions. And his friends were very confused about what God was trying to say through these afflictions. And they all had an opinion about what God must be saying, why this was happening to Job. And they were sure that God must be punishing Job for some sin. It's easy for us to get confused about God's voice because, as the scripture says, there really are an infinite number of ways in which God communicates with us. Now, there isn't really any way that God can't speak to us if he so chooses. If you read the Bible, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, right? When was the last time you saw that happen? That was kind of strange. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey, right? He opened up the donkey's mouth and the donkey spoke to him. He spoke to Belshazzar and Daniel by writing on the wall. Writing appeared on the wall, but there was no hand there writing it. And he spoke to Gideon through a fleece. Gideon asked for a sign, and God spoke to him using the fleece that Gideon had laid out. So God does not have to limit himself to only one way of communicating. He can use any means he wishes to communicate with us. There were even times when God spoke to the people of Israel through their enemies, right? Who didn't even know God, but God used them to communicate with Israel. In the story of Job, in the end, when God really did speak to him, there was no doubt. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. There was no doubt that God was speaking to him. And it was clear then, of course, that his friends, who all had these assumptions about how God acts, did not know how to recognize the voice of God either. He speaks to us in so many ways. But we must always keep in mind that whatever we hear that we think might be coming from God must be held up to the light of Scripture. Now, I'm not referring to the means by which he speaks has to be held up. So, for example, I'm not saying that, if a donkey speaks to us, we know there's scriptural. But if he's, a pig that speaks to us, we can't really say, well, no, God doesn't speak through pigs. He only speaks through donkeys, right? So it's not the means that we're questioning. It's the content. Right? The content of what we hear will never contradict Scripture. God will not tell us, for example, as we're praying, that Jesus is not his son. Right? If we hear that, no matter what the means, even if I get up here and preach it from the pulpit, that's not from God. Right? It's some other voice. I had an experience in my early 20s, years ago, where I believed in God. I'd grown up in church and I still believed in God, but I'd gone through, as so many people do in their early 20s, I'd gone through the stage of not really being sure, particularly about Jesus being his son, right? And so I did pray and I did ask God for confirmation. Is God, or is Jesus your son? And for the life of me, I cannot remember what I saw. I wish I could, because it was so powerful. But I remember being at my parents' house. I was in their kitchen, and I saw something at my mother's house that was so unusual. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but I remember the feeling so clearly of seeing something that just caught me, and I knew in that instant that God was confirming for me, yes, Jesus is my son, right? And I haven't doubted it since. So if you have these doubts, you can pray for God to confirm that. But God will never say things that contradict the principles of Scripture. I haven't heard, personally, God speaking to anyone through donkeys or pigs or fleece recently, but there are some other quite dramatic ways that God does speak. For example, though less common, there is clear biblical record of God speaking to people with an audible voice. There is record of that happening. So, for example, in the Old Testament, you know the story of Samuel, where he was sleeping, he heard a voice with his ears crying, Samuel, Samuel. And he was sure it was Eli, because Eli was the only other person there. So he got up, and Eli said, no, it wasn't me. And this happened three times, where Samuel knew he was hearing a voice call his name. And then in the end, he realized that this voice he was hearing was God calling him. A New Testament example of God speaking through an audible voice was to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, where Saul is on the ground and he hears a voice and the others around him don't hear it, but he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right? So he hears that audible voice. And this didn't stop in biblical times. It can still happen. This audible voice can still happen in modern times. Francis Schaeffer, for example, was a 20th century pastor and philosopher. And there's a story about how his young family needed temporary housing during a transition time, but they had very little money. In prayer, Schaeffer asked God, where can we live, Lord? Please show us. Well, immediately Schaefer says he's heard an audible voice. Not a voice in his mind and not a voice from someone else because he was alone. And the voice simply said to him, Uncle Harrison's house. Out of nowhere, Uncle Harrison's house. Though perfectly clear, he heard it clearly, but the answer made no sense because Uncle Harrison was living in his house. Yet the voice was so clear that he felt he had to heed it. So he wrote a letter to his uncle asking him what he planned to do with his house for the next year. And he was astonished when his uncle replied that he actually planned to go and live with his brother for a year and would like to offer his house rent-free to Schaefer and his family for a year. So that was a very modern example of God speaking to Schaefer, a competent, intelligent man, a philosopher, with an audible voice. Hearing God by an audible voice, as Schaefer did, is common enough, but it's not universal. So don't worry if you have never heard an audible voice. I have never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. But I do personally know people who have. So it does happen, but not to everyone. It's not universal. So if you hear an audible voice, don't dismiss it. Don't, you know, call your doctor. Don't dismiss it, right? But test the content of what, heard God say in the audible voice by reading the Bible, discuss it with other people of faith, and ask God for confirmation, right? Another occasional, though less common way that God, a dramatic way that God has been known to speak to people is through angels, right? In the Old Testament, there are many examples of God sending angels to speak to people, to Abraham, to Joshua, to Balaam, to Gideon, to Samson's parents, Isaiah, Daniel, many others. In the New Testament, of course, the most familiar one that we're familiar with is Mary and Joseph, the nativity story, and the angel comes and speaks to them. But angels also gave specific directions to both Philip and Cornelius in the book of Acts. One pastoral couple that I know both have family stories of God speaking through angels. A former mentor of mine, Pastor Ray, had an aunt who was in a terrifying car accident. As the vehicle vaulted up some concrete, two large hands suddenly appeared and stopped the vehicle. And then the aunt heard a voice say the words, "Turn off the engine." And it saved her life. Ray's wife, Fran, her mother had angelic appearances when she was so weak and frail that she couldn't dress herself. She would be in her room alone and they would comfort her and they would encourage her. And one helped her get dressed one morning. So God will speak to some people through angels, but this is an area where we need to exercise caution. Right? I know a lot of people who have said that they've had angels speak to them, angels appear to them, angels of loved ones. But there's a very real possibility of deception with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes that Satan himself will disguise him as an angel of light. Right? And so we can be fooled in that, especially when there's that emotional connection, because that can make us vulnerable, right? So many, like I said, many people have a story of a deceased loved one visiting them as an angel. And we need to be cautious about that. It can be comforting, but Satan is not above using our fragile emotions to try and deceive us, right? If a loved one seemingly comes to us as an angel, we must pray about that and ask why. Ask God why, right? Especially if we sense that angel is telling us to do something that we may not otherwise think of doing, right? So it's always be cautious. It can happen, but usually the angels that God sends are not necessarily going to look like someone we know, right? We'll be very clear that that's an angel. These dramatic ways of God speaking are not unheard of, like I said, but they are less common. It is more common that God speaks to us in undramatic ways. One of those ways that is quite common is through our dreams, right? This has biblical precedent as well. In the Old Testament, Joseph is very well known for the Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Joseph. He is very well known for God speaking to him through dreams and telling him about his future and about how Joseph can interpret dreams. In the New Testament, again, thinking of the familiar Christmas story, the Magi were warned in a dream not to return to Jerusalem after they had seen the baby Jesus. So how we can think about this is that if we have something on our mind, a problem that we're dealing with, something we're stressed about, and we have a dream about it, it may be God addressing the issue with us while we sleep. God is not limited in his communication with us to when we're awake, the way people are, right? If, you know, if someone comes and talks to you in your sleep, you're not going to hear them, or you might startle awake. But God is not limited that way. Sometimes we might have a dream that seems to come out of nowhere, right? But it's accompanied by strong emotions of hope or of joy. The key to understanding when and how God is speaking to us in a dream and what he is saying to us is to pray about it and to journal it. Don't just think, oh, I know what that is. Really, if you have a dream and you sense that God is speaking to you, pray and journal about it when you wake up. So I had a dream, gosh, probably about 10 years ago now, after my mother died. And it was a dream about my mother, and I was interacting with her, but she was dying, and I was trying to help her, and she was, I took her from one hospital to another, and I was just stroking her face and saying, I love you, I love you. And I wondered, what is this about? Like, it was such a real dream, the spirit of my mother was very present to me in that dream. And so I had a sense that it was from God. And so I prayed about it and I got out my journal, as those in the midweek sessions have been doing. I journaled and I asked God questions and waited for God's response. And as I prayed and journaled about it, I said, God, I know that my mother loves me, and I know that she knows that I loved her. So there wasn't sort of that, you know, did she know how much I loved her, sort of anxiety there. But as I prayed about it, I realized that what there was anxiety about was that I had never got to say goodbye to my mother because she died suddenly. And I realized, as I prayed, that God had sent me this dream as a gift, as the opportunity to say goodbye to my mother. And it was such a gift. It was such a blessing. But I wouldn't necessarily have gotten there to that realization if I hadn't sat down and prayed and journaled about it. So that's very key to understanding how God is speaking to us through dreams. Now, as promised a couple of weeks ago, I want to return and expand on the most common way that God speaks to us that is not dramatic at all, and that is the still small voice. You remember the story from of Elijah outside his cave on the mountain, that there were all these dramatic things. There was fire, there was wind, there was earthquake, and God was not in those. But then there was a still small voice, a whisper, and that's how God came to Elijah. Now, some of you have been asking me, what exactly is the still small voice? Well, it's best described as an inner voice. An inner voice. It's not an audible voice. It's an inner voice that takes the form of thoughts that are our thoughts, though tangibly not originating from us. It's hard to describe unless you've experienced it. It's this thought that is in your head that is tangibly not from you. It didn't originate from you. But it's a thought in our head. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7, he described it as putting ideas into his heart. So not putting ideas into his head, but putting ideas into his heart. He said, God, put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. So that's what that still small voice sounds like. But another common question I'm often asked is, how do we know that it's God's voice and not just our own wishful thinking, not just our own thoughts? Well, in addition to the realization that the thought did not originate from ourselves, like quite often I think, I would never have thought that, right? It's like what Schaefer experienced. You would never have just thought of Uncle Harrison. So it's not from himself. So another way is that though these thoughts, how we can know that these thoughts are the Holy Spirit's thoughts is if we receive them soon after we have asked for wisdom about a particular matter. So if we have just asked God, you know, I need guidance in this, and then very soon after, some new thoughts come into our mind about what we ought to do, we can be pretty confident that that is from God. When we receive thoughts soon after a prayer request for understanding or guidance, we shouldn't doubt that these came from God. The Apostle James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Right? So if you ask God for wisdom and guidance, believe that he will give it to you. These Holy Spirit thoughts that we have in our head may also be attended by feelings or emotions to a greater or lesser degree, as the Holy Spirit operates with a word in our hearts, right? So the idea doesn't just go to our heads. The Holy Spirit will operate on that thought in our hearts. It's particularly true in the following situations. First, if God is really trying to get our attention, right? The thoughts may be accompanied by a certain warm or comforting or loving feeling. Right? If a thought comes to us and it's accompanied by, you know, strong, warm feelings, it could be that God is trying to get our attention. It's also true if we're meditating on scripture and require wisdom or guidance. So we might be reading the scripture, looking for wisdom or guidance, and we read something and it's accompanied by a strong emotion. Right? And that's how God, an emotional response to a scripture, can distinguish a rhema from a logos, right? So we know that it's personal, a personal word to us, because it's accompanied by the strong emotional reaction. Our thoughts will also be accompanied by strong emotions, often as we're learning to hear God's voice. So now, for those of you who are just starting to learn how to hear God's voice, it's common. In the early stages, when we're not as certain in discerning between our thoughts and God's thoughts, he might assist us in our hearing by generating strong feelings with the thoughts. When I was learning how to hear God, I would often feel this great joy when I knew that what I was hearing was the voice of God. So that learning process, God will also assist us by giving us these strong emotions as well. If the internal voice creates confusion or agitation or anxiety, on the other hand, that is not God's voice. I had another dream one time when I was younger. I think I was in my early 30s, and I had this dream that was very real, where God was telling me I was going to die when I was 36, and it caused me great anxiety. But I knew right away, that's not God's voice. That is not God's voice. Well, here I am 20 years later, still alive, right? So that is clearly, that was not God's voice who was saying that to me. So these feelings of confusion and anxiety and agitation, that's not going to be from God. God's voice never stirs up fear and anxiety within us, not even when he's convicting us of sin. So why does God prefer to use a still, small voice, right? Why doesn't, I've often asked myself, why doesn't God just hit me over the head with a hammer, right? Well, there's a number of reasons. First, it's best suited to a relationship with free and intelligent beings, right? For love to be genuine, you have to have choice, right? God doesn't want to just intimidate us into loving him by overpowering us. If God spoke to us in a loud voice all the time, we'd be frightened, right? That's not how God wants to relate to us. That's what happened to the children of Israel when God came down on Mount Sinai. The people saw this loud and impressive presence, and they were frightened, they were terrified. They said, God, don't speak to us anymore. We just talk to Moses, and he can relay the message, right? So there's a sense that if God didn't speak to us quietly, we would be terrified. The still small voice forces us to step away from our self-absorbed busyness to be quiet and listen. We have to be intentional to hear the still small voice. And this is how we come in to God's presence, by quieting the distractions around us. We have to want to hear him and take disciplined steps to quiet ourselves to listen. Third, if God was always speaking to us in a loud voice, then he won't be able to alert us when he really needs to get our attention quickly, right? So if he's speaking to us quietly, we have this relationship with him. Most of you know this with dealing with your children. You speak to your children quietly, nicely, sweetly, all of this, and they don't listen, right? So then you have to yell at them to get their attention. Well, he doesn't want to yell at us all the time, right? If you yell at your children all the time, they just tune it all out, and it's the same way with us. So those are the reasons why, some of the reasons, I'm sure there are other that God knows that I don't necessarily know. But as we come to the end of this sermon series on hearing God, I want to encourage you to keep practicing, to keep at it, to keep trying these things. Listen for God's voice as you're reading scripture, you know, as you're going to highlight or take note of what word or phrase or image from scripture, from a scripture passage catches your attention. See what word in a scripture passage is accompanied by an emotional response from you. Ask God what he's saying to you in that scripture and journal what you hear. It's fun to journal too, to go back and reread your journal entries later to see what, to remember what God has said in the past. We learn to recognize anyone's voice, people's voices or God's voice, by listening to them speak, right? We learn by listening to them speak. About 5 years ago, after a funeral that I had conducted, a man came up to me and said, Lori, do you recognize me? And I kind of smiled and said, well, you look familiar. I feel like I know you from somewhere. But I honestly couldn't place him, right? He told me who he was. He told me his name. And it was the boy that I had had a desperate teenage crush on through 5 years of high school and hadn't seen him since high school. But it was very interesting to me what he said. He said that he knew that I had become a minister, and then when he got to the funeral and he saw the name Lorraine Diaz, because my maiden name was Hill, right? So he saw the name Lorraine Diaz, and still he wondered if it would be me. He said it was as soon as he heard my voice that he knew it was me. I hadn't seen this guy in probably 40 years, right? But he said as soon as he heard my voice, he knew it was me. It's not with information, right? But with experience that we learn to recognize God's voice. That's why practicing is so important. It's by experience that we learn to recognize God's voice. And then even if life gets in the way for a while and we get busy doing other things, as soon as we hear his voice again, we'll know that it's him. Thanks be to God.